evening. I'd like to welcome you to the Reedy Council meeting of Tuesday, July 23rd. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Our invocation will be by Ann Hudson, and our pledge of allegiance will be by Councilmember Anita Betancourt. Would you please stand?
Let's ask God to be with us here tonight. Lord, as we assemble here tonight, I ask that this not be an ordinary, standard, or let's get it done type of a session. This council's here to consider proposals, policies, and actions. This is never standard or normal. For this community, this city, we need wise leaders, wise guidance, and wise choices. For these, we bow before you to provide that wisdom, discernment, and clarity. Father, we realize that the majority of those living in this community are not aware of this body, or the work that they do to not only maintain, but to improve this city. But this body exists to bring the community a safe, protected, and well-thought-out plan. I ask that you always keep their vision high, one that considers every citizen, regardless of socioeconomic status, culture, tradition, or beliefs. May every citizen of Reedy feel valued, cared for, and find a viable way to provide for their families. For the discussions and decisions on the agenda tonight, may they be thoughtfully considered. May each person here tonight be aware of your presence with them. May each person here act responsibly and with dignity, and may you be glorified.
Amen.
Please join the council in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could I have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt?
Here.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Councilmember Cellino?
Here.
Mayor Beth?
Here. Agenda approval. Any additions or deletions to the agenda?
None from staff, Mayor.
Okay. Anything from council? Not. Do I have a motion to entertain to approve the agenda?
Motion.
Have a first. Got a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment? Okay, moving forward with the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted up on as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may move any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change a recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include motions to waive the full reading of any ordinance in the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Anyone like to remove, any council member like to remove a consent agenda item?
I'd like to remove number 3, please.
3?
I'd like to remove number 8.
Number 8. Okay. Anyone from the public would like to remove an item? Okay. I have a motion do I have a motion to approve the remaining items?
So make a motion.
Got a first and a second.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Okay, item number three, approve.
Go ahead.
Marie Metcalf as mayor's nomination to fill one alternate position on the Commission of Aging.
I just want to thank Marie and welcome her. Her husband, my husband was working for the city when her husband was here many, many, many years. So it's nice that you can still keep giving. Thank you.
And I would like to welcome Marie. I've known her for a long time. Ray was a good friend of mine. I miss him. Okay. Any further comment on item number three?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, any comment from the public? Okay, I have a motion for approval. I have a second.
Okay, never mind.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving to item number eight, adopt resolution number 2013-070, approving the inclusion of a measure on the June 3rd, 2014 Fresno County primary ballot to extend the abandoned vehicle abatement program for 10-year period. Before we move on, I failed to do one thing. Marie, would you like to get up and say something?
Not really.
Could you come to the podium? You thought you got by, didn't you?
I just got rid of him out the door. Well, I think it's a privilege to be able to serve the city of Beeving because they've served me well for 60 years. Mm-hmm. Because 60 years ago now, Ray started working for the city he just graduated from Reedy College, and he thought he was going to get drafted. And so he found a steady job, and he kept it for 38 and a half years. Mm. When he started work for the city of Reedy, that was the day when we had to go out and light smudge pots on the barricades. Nobody blew them out after you lit them. And also, there was an old oil tank over here at the corner of Frankwood and I Street.
Oh, yeah.
That you had to babysit with that thing while it had fire underneath it for the road oil. That's the days when the city spread their own oil and everything. And if it got too hot, you were in trouble. I mean, so, and then also he cleaned the swimming pool about three times a week with hoses. You know, they drained it and then they refilled it. And it was quite a chore. But it was an enjoyable time to work in the city, or he worked for the city. And now I'm reaping the benefits of it because he knew that his life would not be as long as an average person's life. So when he got his retirement, he put it so that I would have a pension as long as I live. And so I thank the city for providing that type of birth. So that they can have a good retirement. And I thank you, and I will be happy to serve. And I'm already serving before I was approved. It's a privilege to be able to give back something. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marie. Okay, moving back to item number eight, adopt resolution number 2013-070. City manager?
Yes, sir. And I believe Mayor Fast, still in the old days, aren't I? Councilmember Fast, did you have a question we could answer for you?
No, I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to make some notes for the public on this. This is something that's going to come in our June 2014 ballot. So it's a little while away, but it's a very important service that's provided to the County of Fresno. And the city manager and I were speaking about this earlier this week, and this is kind of a silent little worker in the background, and it's really important that we support this and we help people understand that it helps to get rid of vehicles that are on the streets, are in parking lots, are in areas that we don't need them to be in. And There's an attachment here that talks about the different cities and how much is given to each city. And Reedley, over the last, well, 2004 to 2012, received $231,560. And we were second only to Clovis of the county cities. And also, amount of vehicles that have been abated is 1,966 vehicles. So that's how many vehicles since 2004 have been taken off our streets that are not usable vehicles. So I just think this, again, is an important thing that we need to be watching for on our ballot, and make sure you encourage your friends and family to vote yes on it. I'd like to move to approve it.
Yeah, I have a motion to approve.
Second.
First, is there any public comment? Yeah, I have a first and a second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Beck?
Yes. Moving on to item number 9, adopt resolution number 2013-068, authorizing execution of the city county agreement for CDBG project number 13571, Reedley Streets Improvement Phase 5, Button Willow at Early Street Improvements. Mr. Martinez.
Yes, good evening, Mayor, City Council members, Noah Martinez, City Engineer. So with this item, staff recommends that the council adopt resolution number 2013-068, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with the County of Fresno for CDBG project number 13571, also known as the Button Willow at Early Street Improvements Project, and authorizing the city manager to execute any amendments that may be required during the life of the project. Once fully executed, the city will be able to proceed with design and construction activities for this project. The improvements will include extending water and sewer mains, constructing curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and also pavement widening along the west half of Button Willow Avenue between Duff and Early Avenues. These improvements are all within the eligible CDBG area. Now, the project total cost is estimated at $332,878, with approximately $238,000 earmarked for construction. Lastly, this project will be fully funded with the CDBG grant funds. Is there any questions or comments?
This is something we've been talking to for quite some time, and it's finally come to fruition that it's going to really improve that part of town on Button Willow. So,
yes.
Looking forward to that.
If I could just chime in real quick to make sure that the council is clear that there will still be one segment of Button Willow that will not have yet sidewalks and gutters, and that's because that section that's around Myrtle is tied to the development of that parcel. You may see that boarded up house. We're looking at other alternatives we might be able to do on that street so that we can complete those improvements all the way along Button Willow. I know it's very important for the neighborhood there. It's a very walkable neighborhood. So we are looking at that, but I don't want the council to think this finishes all those sidewalks. We'll still have one block that does not have a sidewalk and a gutter on it.
Is that because of the developer that's gonna?
Right, it was a condition of development.
His plans on putting residential.
Yeah, it's an actual condition that was put on the development when those parcels develop. We're now in contact with the developer. It's an LLC, and there are several members of our community that are involved in that LLC. And so we're trying to help them get that parcel developed, and we're looking at options that we can pursue for that.
So if we can ask, what do we foresee the timeline being on that?
On the, what we're approving tonight or on
no,
that additional portion?
On the, that portion that we're not going to develop, that one block.
I'm hoping we'll have at least a solution for it within the next 6 months, and then we can move forward from that point in looking for design and engineering and construction and moving forward there. So.
Good. Oh, nice. Clean up that area.
It just, you know, the reason I ask is because of it, and I'm hopeful that Annals staff will be successful, but it's the timetable on it, because then it just, when we do all that work, it just, it's really going to stand out like an eyesore, and not having sidewalks there. And I know that developers, for whatever reason, when the market crashes or when there's not enough business, I mean, it impacts them. I understand that. But at the same time, it's like almost holding us like hostage here.
It's a good way to look at it. I think that is the case. One of the solutions that I'd like to pursue is whether the city can make those improvements and then lien the developer for when they do sell those property. But that would have to be agreed upon by the developer, because the city has an arrangement already, mm-hmm. and we have to abide by that.
And that was my line of thinking. Yes. And maybe we could, explore that possibility of getting them to understand, well, if we do it, would you then we're going to do it anyway with the agreement that they have, right? It's just a matter of
timing
when that happens.
Of time.
So
correct.
If we can get them to agree, like, okay, do it now, and then you know, you're still on
yeah.
out that money. You know, you need to understand it's not going to come out of the city or whatever
right.
grant.
So that's one of the solutions. And we're also pursuing other grants and street improvement monies that we can use.
Yeah, isn't there also an incompleted residence on or any that's sitting on that corner? That's
there is a boarded up home.
Yeah. It's been like that for quite a while,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
We're looking at something that was started and then it ceased, and it was during that project. Any further comment? Any comment from the public? Do I have to entertain a motion to pass? To vote on this item.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez.
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Yes.
Councilmember Fass.
Yes.
Mayor Beck.
Yes. Item number 10 is a workshop, economic development. Mr. Fabino.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Director. A couple things before I start. You have several documents that staff provided to you. One is the green sheets, which is the presentation that is going to be shown up on the screen. There are three other documents that I thought were important for you to have. We won't talk about them tonight, but they are local demographics that are kind of interesting for you to look at in your leisure. One is with respect to just kind of general demographics of the community, population by race, ethnicity, workforce, housing stock, kind of some interesting reading material. That being said, with tonight's presentation, we'd like to talk to you start the presentation with talking to you about kind of the two sides of economic development, what we do internally here within the city, and then outreach efforts or external coordination, and we kind of affectionately refer to it as matchmaking. We'd like to talk to you about private development in the marketplace and some next steps for you to ponder and give us some direction on. So that being said, internal efforts and activities. The first thing we've done is we've really sat down as a staff and tried to build a team. And we often talk about things like, what do we do when a big box walks through the door? It's not the time to panic. It's the time to understand what our processes are, what the code looks like, how we react, and how we respond in a consistent and professional manner. We've talked a whole bunch about customer service. You should know now that there is a computer that sits on our front counter. Any member of the public can come in and ask us about any piece of property in the city. And what we have found is it's very helpful that not only do we give them the book, the rules, the regulations, but quite often we can stand there and look at a parcel, because we use technology today. We can look at the parcel with them and talk about property development standards. We can talk about what they can and can't do, things that are surrounding that, you know, in the built environment or physical environment that may affect their project and how they develop. So we found that to be a really great tool in terms of customer service. We now have, and I know the council's seen this previously, what we refer to as a zoning book. Used to be you'd have to walk up to the front council or front counter, and if you asked what is the zoning of my property, it literally somebody had to go into another room, look at three different maps, come out and actually tell them. Now we actually have a book that's up at the front counter. It's all numbered, sequenced. You know, you can give me an address, I can flop it open. You don't even have to know the address. You can just point and we can find the zoning of that particular parcel. The other thing that we have that sits on every staff member's desk is a resource guide. That resource guide is really developed so that we can provide consistency in our responses. It has everything to do with what forms to hand out, contacts throughout the city. Somebody shows up at the front counter and has a question about, their garbage pickup. And our staff can now open it up and they have all the contacts, and so we can give them information not only about our department but citywide. And that's kind of been a really great tool. I use it all the time, and I know staff does regularly in trying to service the public. Our message to the development community, we've worked really hard in trying to get out a consistent message. If you looked at our website, we believe that it tends to be more inviting. The old website was very traditional, and it's, you know, here's what we do, when we do it, here's the Planning Commission. Now we talk about you in the third person as a developer. How can we help you develop strategies to get your project through a process? How can we work with you to identify resources, whether it be Enterprise Zone or whatever it is, and trying to send out that message of a partnership when you come to this city to develop. You've seen excerpts in our newsletters that we've put out. I would also go on to say that the information that gets put out is not only related just solely to our department, things like crime stats, education. We tout both the college and the educational system through the unified district, leisure opportunities, those kinds of things that are really important that we try to get out regularly. We have spent I have spent a large portion of time over the last several months trying to develop relationships and partnerships. That is, and I'm just going to kind of give you a quick short list. You know, of course, obviously it's local, being the Chamber and the RDA and the Five Cities JPA, the EDC. But it's also developing other relationships with, for example, Mike Shule or Craig Larson, obviously Isaac Construction, Floyd. But then there's a whole series of relationships that we've developed outside of that group, primarily with brokers, realtors, Bo Plumley, really nice guy if you ever get a chance to meet him. He's with Collier, Bank of Sierra. We visited them and talked to them about what they have as resources that can be made available to potential development and people looking for construction loans or management loans to get their projects up and running. We also think that one of the things that we're striving towards, and you'll be seeing the general plan amendment or the general plan update coming to you soon. I think we've kind of touched or let you know in some way that we've been working on the zoning code update. A lot of this is to create predictability. You know, developers, when they look at a city and they're looking to develop commercial or residential, they really want to know what the rules are, and they want those rules to be predictable, and they want to be able to know that, you know, if it says, you know, a 20-foot setback, that's what it is. So we've been working hard to create the predictability for development community. Again, that goes kind of ties back into the resource guide, customer service, things that we're doing. Lastly, we've also talked to you a little bit about streamlining an entitlement process. I think we brought to the council a month or 2 months ago. I've been having fun, so it could have been longer. Hard to remember sometimes. We talked to you about how we took our applications, and in some cases were 8 to 12 to 14 pages just to submit an application, and reduce those to, in most cases, 1 to 3 or 4. So that was a good help and step in the right direction. I want to talk to you just kind of a little bit as we move forward and talk about economic development, kind of, if you will, unfortunately, take a step back in time and remember kind of where we were, so that you can really understand the philosophy of where we think we're going, or at least where the staff would like to take you. You might remember that in 2007 and 8, and maybe even a little bit before, could be as early as 05, the council was very busy approving tentative maps. We were kind of on the back end of the economic uptick or surge, if you will, and you had kind of an interesting dynamic where typically, economically, you have housing booms and wanes, and you have commercial that picks up. So they kind of ebb and flow with each other. In about 2005 to about 2008, what you had was kind of both were peaking at the same time. And so that's why we had like all this booming, you know, you were approving maps like there's no tomorrow, there's five or six still floating around. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But you also had a lot of commercial flowing through the door at the same time. What happened was is we kind of found ourselves in a position where some people were jumping in really late. And that's kind of one of the things we'll talk about when we talk about some of the track maps that we have now. They were kind of late, Johnny come lately to the party, they got their maps approved. In 2008, everything kind of went bust, as they would say. And so those maps have languished, and some dating back to 05. Here we are 5, 7, 9 years later, and they're still kind of sitting idle. And where are they, and why are they in the position that they're in? So one of the things that Nicole and I spend a lot of time on and thinking about is, how do we get ahead of the curve? How do we inspire and talk to developers, commercial or residential, and get them to understand the day is here to where we should start thinking about economic development, and they should start thinking about positioning their projects so that even at the next little uptick, which could be next month or 6 months, they are absolutely in the best position and ready to go. What we're trying to avoid is everybody waits till it's all booming. Well, the time you wait till it's all booming and you get your project in the queue and you get it done and you get to construction and you get your loans, you're going to be bust again. So we're really trying very hard, and all the folks that we've been talking to and things that we'll talk to you about a little bit later in the presentation is really about positioning and getting people ready to go today. Again, I just had mentioned we're trying to get everybody on the upswing, and there's lots of evidence that we can talk about that's probably not too far away. Our goal is to really set the table and to match potential businesses with landowners. And I've gotten numerous calls, potential for development. It's here, it's ready to go. And our job is to really, you know, matchmake. Put them together, step aside, and hope they can work out a deal. And if they do, then we're well prepared to process their entitlements, be a single point of contact, and move them through a system. You know, our role in the matchmaking in the marketplace has really been, you know, one, we're the initial point of contact. Sometimes it's somebody calls me and says, you know, I know about a business that wants to. So then it's the cold call to say, what are your needs? Sometimes it's, you know, our wonderful local partners, being the chamber, RDA, it could be a local business. A lot of realtors are calling us saying, you know, what do you have? Here's what I've got. Here's what I'd like to bring to you. What's your land inventory? We do meet regularly with potential businesses, and our goal is to identify the physical needs. And that could be, and we'll kind of pick on Wendy's. When Wendy's first called, the first thing I said is, what's your prototype look like? What's your footprint? So that we have an idea of what their land needs are. And a lot of times companies like that have a footprint that is established. You know, our footprint's 15,000 square foot. You talk to Subway, their standard footprint's gonna be 15 to 18, depending on where they're going. It could be 1,800 to 2,200 square feet. Those are kind of the base inline spaces that they look for on those kinds of businesses. Talk to them about corporate branding. Those are always important. You look at Fresh and Easy all across the United States, it's always that greenish kind of same design of building. From there, we do try to identify available land. We'll talk about this a little bit more. This is probably the biggest challenge we have in the city right now, is the availability of land. But once we kind of understand what they look like, we pound the pavement and we talk to lots of folks trying to find the land that's available. We do communicate regularly. I communicate regularly. There's probably not a day that goes by that I don't talk to a realtor, a broker, or whether it's following up, where are you? I'm working with one broker who's trying to, as we would say, buy paper. He's trying to buy a tentative tract map. Hadn't talked to him in a week and a half. Called him up, how you doing, what do you need, where are we? He's like, thank you very much. He's not, you know, these guys are really not used to having a government agency call them, going, hey, we're here, we're ready to help, what do you need? So it's been kind of fun, because they're kind of a shock sometimes. Oops, excuse me. I do want to kind of take a quick little side trip, if you will, and there's something I do want to talk to you about at this moment when we talk about matchmaking in the marketplace. You know, I know there's been some reports about G Street and some vacancies, but I'll tell you, G Street is alive and strong. I know it doesn't seem like it sometimes, because we get a period when one or two businesses will come and go and transition. But at the same time, if you looked at the totality of G, and you looked in comparison to any other main street corridor in any other city, you know, they do not have probably the 90% vacancy or the 90% fill rate that we have here. And we're at least 90% of those storefronts are filled. Yes, there's three or four in the last week or two, you know, Zatari's, Little Red Rooster, and there's Gardner's. And so we kind of think of all of a sudden this spike, but the reality is across the whole total of G, we're doing pretty well. Most of those spaces, I would bet, with the exception of one, are probably going to be leased up within the next 30 to 45 days. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking to the business, to the owners, and bringing them also folks that we know mm-hmm. that may be interested in leasing those spaces. Again, it's that matchmaking. I don't know if they'll be able to strike a deal, if you will, but we put the right people in the room to figure it out.
Kevin, is that new businesses or is that existing businesses looking to relocate that you're talking about?
It's a little bit of both. Okay. It's a little bit of both. And, you know, as we kind of move in now to another kind of phase of the presentation, I guess I kind of will forewarn you. There are some things that, to be honest with you, it's kind of funny. I get sworn to secrecy. Like, I know certain businesses that are looking at spaces, but I can't say anything. So as we go through a couple of these and we talk about some specifics, you know, understand it's not that I don't want to tell you who that is. You may be able to figure it out. But, you know, it's not uncommon that I get a call from a broker saying, I've got X who wants to go in. Here's what their needs are, but it's completely confidential. Great. Get it. And, you know, that's one of those going back and building relationships. It's really important. I hope you'll appreciate it. I try really hard to keep that confidentiality for them. Because if I break it, then that's probably not a good thing. And I know you all understand and appreciate that.
I have a question, yeah. Mr. Fabino. As you talk, you know, you're referencing G Street, but does that encompass all of the other areas in our community, like other buildings that are that people are maybe seeking to establish their business there?
Absolutely.
Not We're, just downtown.
It is.
Citywide.
Our efforts are citywide. And as we go ahead and talk a little bit more, I think that will come out as we talk about there's some challenges we have ahead, and there's some really great things that I can tell you that are going on. So, but it is not limited at all to G Street. It is the entire city. So that being said, one of the challenges, or some of the challenges we have ahead are obviously the perception of the valley, air quality, high unemployment, educational attainment. I know that's no surprise to anybody. This one's a pretty big one for us. It's limited land availability. You know, and it really comes down to realistic land values and something that's shovel ready. I was talking to somebody the other day, and you know, they were telling me that we're trying to help somebody sell some property, and they were telling me that they kind of wanted like $90,000 a lot. Okay, so to put that in context, take the square footage of your house, multiply it times 100, and add $90,000. Whatever that is, don't say any numbers, would you be able to sell your house on the marketplace? So we've kind of found ourselves in a place where, you know, again, going back to the 2008 era, where land was highly inflated, you know, those days aren't there. And so that is kind of one of the challenges that we're facing. Just the idea of something being shovel ready. Again, and we'll talk a little bit more, but you know, a good example is Wendy's. I've had a heck of a time finding a place to put them. I know it sounds funny, but think about Down Manning. There's only a couple parcels that are vacant. You know, where do they go? And again, that falls back on willing sellers and a whole series of dynamics that, again, the city is in control of. We're not party to. We don't want to be party to. But it's something, again, kind of in that matchmaking.
And I'll add in, because the Wendy's, I think, is a great example. Since that was in the press, we can talk about it. Everybody knows about it. We have made so many calls to folks to see if they're interested in selling their property. Wendy's business model, they buy property, they don't lease it, so that kind of knocks half of it out. And then when we approach realtors and property owners about putting something there, the property owners we have in Reedley, we have very few that actually own property. Most properties are held by a few folks, and that's very typical of a city our size. You could talk to Kingsburg, Selma, Sanger, they'll say the same thing. A lot of the vacant parcels are owned by just a few, and there's no push to sell. So folks know that they can hold on to their property and potentially get more money in a few years when the economy picks up. As a city, we certainly don't want to see people having to take bargain basement pricing for their parcels of land. We understand that this is something that potentially has been in their family for a while. They don't just want to sell it on a fire sale. They want to get a good value for it. But that also makes the matchmaking incredibly difficult, because businesses that are coming into towns, into cities, are looking for bargain basement prices because the economy is bad right now. So the Wendy's is the prime example of having a very specific demographic model. They want to be in a very specific location of the city. And those locations where there are vacancies, we have either unwilling or maybe not realistic pricing for the parcels. So that is one of the challenges that Kevin deals with on a daily basis.
So maybe to kind of a quick story to put this in perspective, we were talking to a particular landowner who several years ago had an offer for $100,000 plus an acre. I know, we just kind of let go. And you didn't close the deal? But they didn't. Here we are today, in the best of all worlds, a good piece of ag land with a good hardy crop on it. It's about $20,000 to $25,000. if you took that and said, well, we'll give you maybe 10,000 more because you're going to turn it into residential, we're generous, so we'll give you 15. So now you got to cost a residential developer maybe at 40,000 a lot. And because we're really generous, we throw another 20 on top of it because you're going to sell it at for commercial use. We are still so far apart between what used to be and what the market will bear today. That's one of the challenges we face, and I could tell you probably 10 stories that are similar to that, but it is what it is. Annexations and fire transitions, kind of moving along. These are really, these are processes that we go through. We're working really hard with respect to annexations. Every tentative tract map that's in the city right now, I've talked to the developer and the engineer. We're trying to get them to complete their annexations, even if they don't have a project. And part of the reason we're doing that is not because we want to incur the cost of providing service, but because we think for them, if their project is ever going to go through, let's just get it done. If their project were never to happen, when they are then ready to develop, again, going back to that positioning your property, the only people they have to deal with is the city of Reedling. Right now, they have to deal with the county and LAFCO and the city and 15 other regulatory agencies. So we're trying to convince them the importance of finishing up those annexation processes, annex it into the city, so that if no matter what, it's the best of all worlds for them in the future, however they develop their property. Fire transition, I know you've all know very much where we're at with that. I won't talk in great detail about that, but it is something that does provide us some challenges, and hopefully it's slowly being worked out at the LAFCO level. But it does impact us here locally.
You know, if I can, since we say LAFCO, and we have some members of our audience who not know what that is, LAFCO is Local Agency Formation Commission. Every county must have a LAFCO. It's a state law. The LAFCO determines when cities can annex in land to their city limits. So when we talk about annexations, we talk about having to go through LAFCO. We do have a Fresno LAFCO. The Board of Supervisors, they meet in the Board of Supervisors room, but there are different appointees. There's, I think, three small city appointees, a county appointee, and then another board member. And what we find is our LAFCO's policies are somewhat difficult with annexation compared to some other LAFCOs around the state, because they do require that property to be annexed has a 50%.
So the development standards for annexation are that A, development is eminent, and that B, which means you have an approved site plan or tentative tract map or an approved entitlement, and that it covers a minimum of 50% of the property. So if you had a 40-acre piece, that means your development must be eminent and cover 20 acres.
So when we talk about the general plan and we talk about the sphere of influence and where we want to go with the city, I get the sense that a lot of community members believe that we can simply annex property and make our city limits bigger. And that's not the case. If we're going to annex property into the city limits, at least 50% of that property has to have development imminent. That means, let's take that Otani parcel that was going to be Walmart. We couldn't bring that into the city limits right now, even if we wanted to, unless 50% of that acreage was development was imminent. They were going to have tenants in those spaces. And that's a challenge for all cities in Fresno County right now. So that's something we look at, and when we talk about wanting to annex along Manning, when we talk about wanting to go to the northeast, LAFCO literally will stop our annexations if we don't meet those policies. Similarly, with fire transition agreements, fire transition agreements are done through LAFCOs in the state, and what those mean is that the Fresno County Fire District, for instance, provide service to unincorporated areas, most unincorporated areas in Fresno County. When you annex property into the city limits, you agree to take on that property and provide fire service. That leaves the Fresno County Fire District without that property tax to support them. So for numerous years, cities within Fresno County have had these fire transition agreements, as called for in LAFCO policy, that provide a 10-year payment to Fresno County Fire on a sliding scale of the property tax that they once got from those parcels. It it has worked out very well for cities, because as soon as you annex and you develop, you're bringing more property tax, which covers the portion you've got to give to Fresno County, plus you get more than you were expecting anyways. All of the cities, with the exception of Clovis, have expired fire transition agreements right now, because Fresno County Fire District is not negotiating in good faith, I'll say. And Clovis is the only reason they have one is because this went all the way through the courts, and they have a settlement. And we've tried to even get, we being all the city managers in Fresno County, have tried to get the fire district to at least let us have the Clovis agreement, which is slightly worse than what we had before, but will at least allow us to annex, and they've refused. So what Fresno County Fire District wants is they want that portion of property tax they were always getting, and they want it in perpetuity. That means they no longer provide service to that parcel. We provide service to that parcel, but they'll get the property tax they've always gotten from that parcel, and they want it for the lifetime of the fire district. So it's this is something that's going before the LAFCO board on August 7th. All of us city managers have been very involved over the course of the past year in multiple presentations before the LAFCO board and the Board of Supervisors. So anyways, that is another challenge to being able to annex and develop, because really, like a lot of small cities, we have no space to grow and to develop and to bring things in. And even if somebody came through the door, if a Walmart came through the door again and said, we wanted that Otani parcel, we're willing to go through the process all over again, we wouldn't be able to get them there right now because of the fire transition agreement. So these are true challenges to cities right now. Cities are almost halted in their development abilities until these issues are worked out.
So. I think our city also, simultaneously, we have another challenge, you know, based on what you've shared with the council this evening and tonight. I wouldn't want you, Nicole, or Kevin to say, well, you know, you have the answer for it. I'm not expecting that. But based on some of the landowners that we have here within the city, if they, and I can understand why, you know, they want to hold out and they want a price that they saw back in 07 or 08 and thinking that the market is going to scale new heights and so forth. But at the same time, if we're developing, you know, residential areas and our population is growing, we're not being afforded that opportunity as a city to enhance or to expand our tax base. You know, it's like our budget's only going to stretch so much eventually. And with, you know, some of the neighboring cities, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them don't have that challenge that we have because of economic development and because they were able to, you know, jump on things and establish and so forth. So their police and fire protection is not, you know, won't be strained. Youth programs, you know, there won't be strained, or senior citizen stuff. And I just see that the longer folks hold out, you know, I can see us really having some difficult times, you know, because everything is going up. And you're giving an example right now that people don't want to give up what they've had, you know. So, and I can, I mean, you make it vividly clear when you say the second or third, if not fourth generation that they've had this, you know, why would I want to do that? You know, it's kind of like a guy that doesn't want to sell the old car because it was his first car. And, oh, no, it's worth more than that. Well, it was worth more than that when you bought it. But right now, it doesn't even run. You know, so I'm just thinking that somehow, you know, it's not going to happen overnight like this. But there has to be a plan that we put in place, you know, not so much a blueprint, but a plan over the course of, you know, so many years, what we're going to do with our economic development. Because if people keep saying no and no and no, we're not going to sell, then that's why you have plight, or you have these areas that they don't look very inviting. So when other people are coming in and wanting to establish or wanting to knock on your door and say, you know, I'm really interested in coming in and wanting to establish a business here, right? You know, I really want to be part of your city with economic development. And then, bam, they get hit right away. So I don't know if you have an instrument, you know, through our webpage or a hard copy when they make that contact and they have that interaction. you know, what are the snags? What are the things that you, that after you visited with us and you talked to us, what do you, it's kind of like when you go buy something, I guess, and that, and the agent gets the very next day, they call you up and say, okay, how was the service? How was our service? You know, so we and get some feedback on that, not because we're not giving good service, but I think more of the feedback for us would be like, what are the real challenges that you foresee here?
So if you don't mind, I'll try and address that very simply. And that is if you called Bo, if you called Skip, if you called Todd, if you called the chamber, the issue that the city has is not with the city. They will tell you they are getting service that they get from no other city. The dilemma and the picture that we've tried to paint, and this is only half, because there's another portion of the presentation I want to talk to you about, that's all the good stuff that's going on. You know, you would hear from them that they are getting service that they get nowhere else. So I think we're making the right steps. Do we have a lot more work to do? Absolutely. I'm not going to stand here and tell you we don't. We've got a ton of work ahead of us. But no matter how hard we work, I can't make somebody sell their property. That's the difficulty. And we've got some challenges that, you know, that's why the presentation is the way it is tonight, because we want you to know we're out there pounding the pavement. We're talking to all these folks who are trying to move ahead.
And actually, I do think it's a very relevant topic, because this is what got a lot of cities to move on things like eminent domaining property for commercial development. And you'll remember a couple of years ago, there was finally laws coming out in different states around the country saying municipalities could not do that. And the prime example, the very lawsuit that went all the way up the chain nationwide, New England town or New Jersey town that eminent domained property for commercial development, and that property developer went under, and that property is now vacant. So they eminent domained somebody's property, raised this house, and now that is a vacant parcel with no development. I mean, it really is a travesty. So we're not able to go in an eminent domain, nor would we want to, but it's not even a legal ability for us. I think that's where on the previous slide Kevin had, where we talk about development incentives at the bottom there, I really think that's where we'll need to focus. What can we do to incentivize those property owners to sell? And the state, of course, has taken away one of our best tools we had, which was redevelopment money, where we could say, hey, we'll pay for this piece of property, or we'll help bridge the gap in the funding or something like that. That no longer exists, so now we've got to look to see what else we can do to provide those incentives. So if we it's either the stick or the carrot, you know, in everything you do. Well, we don't have the ability to use the stick, which is eminent domain. One of our carrots is gone, but maybe there's something else we can use to incentivize. And so that's what we're working with our fellow city managers and fellow development directors up and down the state to really delve into and come up with ideas on.
So moving ahead, we've kind of talked about Wendy's a little bit. We have a group that has approached us. It is a drugstore. We found a location, wasn't quite big enough. We went back to the real estate folks and said, hey, we thought the parcel was bigger because it's all vacant. Said, oh no, Johnny owns that, go talk to Johnny. So we're trying to figure out how we can get now we get to do the land assemblage, basically. But that's one of the projects we're working on. Frankwood and Olson, that was a piece of property. There was a tentative tract map on it. You might remember it. Moray Estates is what it used to be called. That actually went into foreclosure, was sold out of county auction. The new developer has purchased it, and we've had several conversations about some kind of commercial residential development. It's moving along slowly. We've seen some site plans and some elevations, but these things do take time, and they've only owned it for about 2 or 3 months. We were recently contacted for a need related to medical office. Couldn't find a place for them, but we had it was actually about a 7,000, the first request was about 7 or 8,000 square foot. It was a 7 or 9 office, doctor office group, and then the other was more of a dialysis short-term treatment kind of facility. We just didn't have the facility, but that's one of the projects that Bo is working on, and I think we're maybe close to finding him a place. I don't know. We'll know within the next couple weeks. Monta Vista Estates, this was mentioned earlier. This is up at Myrtle and Frankwood. You talked about it. It's got the vacant house. Just to let you know, staff's done all the research. I can tell you a ton of information about the lot. Took me 3 months to find who the local contact was. Mm-hmm. I've talked to like 5 lawyers and 3 different people, and I finally got a name. Within the last week, we have passed along 6 potential developers to that LLC. Again, don't know where it's going to go, but we're out there trying to find people and do the matchmaking thing. Kind of a term of art in the planning world is the selling of paper lots, or they're selling paper. We have several maps in the city. We've been working with owners and brokers. We know 2 maps are up for sale, and as I mentioned earlier, I call Skip regularly to make sure that those sales are going well, and if there's anything we can do to help them consummate those agreements, we certainly are right there with them. Burgess Hotel should also be mentioned. I don't know, what do you think, Nicole? 7, 9 names we've passed along to the owners, and it still sits in the condition it does. As a matter of fact, I tried really hard to hawk it the other day. I was out walking down G Street, and I saw this young couple, and they were looking at the hotel, and I guess the tie gave me away. They said, "Excuse me, sir, do you know anything about that?" And I said, "Sure, what would you like to know?" Turns out that it was the previous general manager when it was actually operational, and so it was really kind of fun to talk to her because she could fill me in on all kind of missing pieces of history. And he was a alcohol distributor. I thought, what a better match. You're right there. Don't you want to buy it? Couldn't pull that one off, but I tried. There's still a lot more that we're working on, and there's still a lot more that has to be done. And I could go on and on about, had a call today, potential 5-acre parcel, talking to somebody about the potential for developing it into office. So we are pounding the pavement, doing everything we can to meet the needs of the city. But again, we're in that matchmaking role. We're getting really close to the end, and staff would like to suggest, as we talked about previously, that we get some direction from the city council members about, would you like to go on a tour and look at some of the properties that we've talked about, or that I can tell you, this is kind of the history and disposition of this. Here's what we're looking at. More than happy to set that up for you. Are there other invitees, the newspaper, maybe chamber board? I don't know. If there's anybody you'd like specifically, we could invite a couple local individuals who own large amounts of land. We could invite them along and have a nice discussion, and we can schedule those dates for you. That concludes staff's report. Thank you very much. I know it was kind of long, and I threw a lot at you to think about, but I also hope, and I'm sure you got the sense that we're working really hard. And one of the things I can tell you about economic development and all the years I've been doing it, there is a ton of work that goes on. And usually, if it's anything less than a year to get a good project to where you're either breaking ground or cutting a ribbon, that's kind of on the fast track. If you don't mind, let me back up and tell you about 2 projects that I can't believe I forgot to tell you about, but I'll tell you now. There is a project that is a multiple family housing project on Dinuba and Orange that received funding through TCAC, and they are in for construction. So we're very excited about having the first kind of sticks in the ground for a major project in quite a number of years, be an 80 unit apartment complex, and we're pretty excited about that. We also just heard that all of the indicators are that the Reedley family project, you may remember on IA several years ago, looks like they got funded and may also be up and running. I think just the more sticks we get in the ground, the more construction we get underway. I think those will be synergistic projects, because when I take developers down the street for lunch down G, they love it because of all the traffic. So that being said, I thank you for that quick regression, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Yes, ma'am.
Where's Orange Avenue?
Okay, so you know where the...
By the Oaks?
No, you know where the traffic circle is?
Uh-huh. That's at the Oaks?
By Sports Park. Yeah, sorry, I don't know the Oaks.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
It's not called the Oaks anymore?
Huh?
On the right or on the...
It's actually further towards the Sports Park on the left-hand side.
On the left side. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's actually a big... It's where that orchard, that old orchard is right now, and that house that's kind of fallen down.
I gotta go look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the design, it's gone through Planning Commission and et cetera, and the design is beautiful. It truly is one of those things where you could say it's quality multifamily housing through good aesthetics and design. And they worked with us and changed the plan multiple times so that we could make sure that we were looking at things like two-story houses that may have views over and things of that nature, making sure there was differing roof lines so it didn't just look like a monolithic apartment complex. There's some patios and open spaces. It really is a quality-looking design.
I have a question, Nicole, as you're talking about that. When we have those type of developments, apartment complexes, is there additional tax, on them? Or is it different from that type of development versus when we have single residential families, like when we do a development like that? And the reason I'm saying is because... Not that I'm trying to knock those people down. I mean, you afford what you can afford. I mean, when I was growing up, we lived in the projects. That's the way it was. But it's the activity, if I can say it right here, the activity, the demand for
services,
more monitoring from our police, our fire, and so forth. Is there something that offsets that, or?
So let me try and address it in two or three ways. One, the city has impact fees. And so when development occurs, there are rates that a developer pays for things like single family versus multiple family, transportation impacts on streets, or those kinds of things. So those, the developer is already paying for those impacts. It's a report that was done in 2008. We're getting ready to start it up again, and so that's one way, and there's a distinction in the impact is evaluated and the cost is then appropriately charged. There's also CFDs, Community Facilities Districts, and Lighting Landscaping Maintenance Districts, where the cost of the maintenance of those facilities, whether it be the mow strips or the public space, there is, the request for service or the benefit of the service is then equated to the charge that they are paid. So those are the two primary development ways in which there's an offset or a direct relationship between impact and the fee that's being paid.
Kevin, one of the things I really enjoyed listening to what your presentation is, word communication. Where you go out to real estate people, developers, and the property owners, you're going out to them instead of waiting for them to come to you. You're promoting the city of Reedley and helping. So that's a big plus for the city of Reedley. So thank you.
I'd be remiss, by the way, if I didn't point out Valerie's here in the audience. We didn't really touch upon the retail component here too much, but what they do through our contract is really try to lure in those retailers that meet our demographics, and that's where you see the Buxton demographics that Kevin provided you. Not everybody's going to want to come to Reedley because we may not support their demographic model. So Valerie and Chamber folks attend what's called ICSC, which is the big International Shopping Center conventions. They attend that on our behalf and try to hit those businesses that are looking to come into California where their demographics meet ours. For instance, I hear a lot, we want Target in Reedley. Hey, if we had a Target, I'd shop at Target. We don't exactly match Target's demographic. That doesn't stop us from asking, and I have asked at least five times and gotten five no's. And we'll continue to ask. I kind of chuckled because I looked at Clovis's economic development plan, and I just reviewed it again yesterday, and there's a write-up in there, and it is informing the council that they hear all the time, hey, we need a Nordstrom's in Clovis, and I'd shop there if it was a Nordstrom's, right? So the different echelons depending upon the, you know, the take-home pay, but they don't meet a Nordstrom's demographic. In Fresno, when I worked for City Hall, I couldn't tell you how many times we heard, hey, when are you going to bring an IKEA to Fresno? We don't meet IKEA's demographic. So some things are just not going to be possible until our demographics change. It doesn't mean we don't ask. We will continue to ask. But a lot of these big corporations have very specific parameters they are looking for because it's all about the business model. And so Valerie's out there pounding the pavement looking for those businesses that match our demographics because those are the easier ones. Those are low-hanging fruit to try to get in. I think she would tell you that right now in the marketplace, nobody's moving. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's waiting to see what's happening with the Healthcare Act and with the different things that are happening on a nationwide level. Everybody's wondering if the economic uptick is stable or if it's going to go back down again. So cities that are smart, and I would say that Reedley is being smart, are focusing in on the things that we can right now, which are making sure we've got the appropriate infrastructure, making sure that our entitlement processing is as smooth and streamlined as can be, because as soon as the economy ticks up and people feel it's stable, I guarantee you Reedley will be one they look at because we're going to be easy to work with. So.
Did I hear it right? We don't meet the standard or the...
The demographic?
For Target?
Our unemployment rate is very high. And to a retailer, they would say, if you have a 33% unemployed population, that's 33% that can't spend extra money at our store. So it's an interesting, businesses look at what your education levels are, what the income levels are, your unemployment levels, all of those things. Right now, actually, Target, though, I would say, and this may have changed recently, but they're not looking at new stores right now in the Valley. They got a little oversaturated. If you look at what happened in Fresno, you know, there's one on Bullard, there's one on Herndon, there's one then now going on the west side. Selma was going to be getting one. I understand they might not now. So we keep hearing Target, but I don't know that it's a possibility for anybody right now because I think they're in a hold mode right now as well. So.
You want me to just comment about Target?
Tell them, build it and we will go.
Yeah.
Valerie Prony, Greater Reedley Chamber. Yeah. I would love to see a Target too, but Target, last conference I was at and listened to the executive or the chairman, let's see, president of the relocation, they're not doing much in the United States at all. They acquired a new affiliate out of the Canadian area. They have 142 new stores, and they're concentrating their efforts there right now, waiting to see what's going to happen with our economy, and I suspect it has something to do with healthcare. So that's what's going on with Target.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Receive information and reports. That's just the meetings of the Oversight Board. Council reports, brief reports by council members. Start with Rick tonight.
Okay, I have a list of things that I attended or participated in. One, I attended with the mayor the quarterly meeting for the Neighborhood Watch. It was held conducted in here. Very informative and The staff always does a good job, but I'm just pleased with the interaction that they had with the community and so forth. In addition to that, they gave us, and I thought it was real good, they gave us this handout of some of the criminal element that we have in our community, or people that come into our community to do that. And they're actually their faces and their names. So I thought that was real good. And if we were to see those folks throughout our community, and we're suspicious or whatever, we're not. You know, we don't enforce a lot, but we could. You know, it was an open invitation for us to get in contact with police and so forth, especially if we suspect something. Also attended the annual Chamber of Commerce social. Valerie did a good job. It was real nice. Had the opportunity to visit with some of our businessmen, and you know, they had some good discussion and some of the things that work for them and some of their challenges and so forth. But what I took away from that is they're pretty knit. You know, they support each other, and you know, they want to do everything that they can to enhance business in our community. Also attended the Transportation Authority meeting with Russ. You know, we also got some good updates on that with the Tiger Grant, and then some discussion on the gas line. I don't know where that's at, the gas line that's to be coming in from Dinuba Way, right? But Dr. Quinto, you know, does a good job facilitating that. He's our chair. And I think I'm, you know, for Mary, for you to know, I think I'm close to converting into a Giant fan. No, not really. I went to the opening ceremony of the Junior Giants. I thought that was neat. A lot of the kids, you know, the teams showed up, the coaches, they introduced each and every kid that was there. In addition to that, they had like a little program, and they had a couple of folks, you know, address our community. One was the Network for Healthy California, talking about healthy foods and so forth like that. And I don't think that's just the message, you know, for the kids, the students that were there, but also, you know, the parents and the grandparents. And then also Ms. Rosa Hernandez talked a little bit about the reading program. You know, so I thought that was pretty neat to kind of bring those two things into light when they were introducing the kids and the coaches and, you know, getting ready for their season. But I thought it was a great little ceremony. Had the opportunity to meet with our newly appointed college president, Dr. Caldwell. She spent about an hour with me and kind of just sharing with me what her vision is for the college and the work that she wants to do for the college and the community and so forth. And then also asked me some questions. And one of them was like, well, what do you want to see? And of course, you know, I was with the theme, like if you remember when I asked you that question, because I went to when they had the three candidates, it's like taking a look at our retention rate at the college and our graduation rate and so forth. And then on top of that, because I told her I had the opportunity to go to a water conference and then have some other discussions, is that taking a look at our curriculum here at the college, and I know we have a great ag program and you know, even our high school program that we have on their site, but taking a look at making sure that we are enticing and we're educating our kids for the job market as far as for water management. You know, whatever they want to get into, whether it's water storage, irrigation, or, you know, clean water, what have you, but taking a look at that. And she really got into a discussion on that particular topic. And not that she surprised me, but she does have a good base, a good knowledge in this particular a topic or this area. And then just we talked a little bit about the development on Buttonwillow and so forth. I'm wondering if staff somehow could give council some information, and not tonight, or a report, or what have you, but what's happening with development? Because I know it's like a mixed bag right there, like county and city, but Parlor Avenue and Columbia, but how that's kind of carved out, it's part county and then part city and so forth. But the more that I observe, and I'm, you know, it's in the morning because I get up early and I'm out there, but it's the the percentage of traffic that's using Parlor Avenue throughout the day, you know, because of the two developments that have occurred, and that's basically where I live in that area, Vineyard Estates, but then the one north of us, you know, that was established 5 years ago, there's a whole lot of traffic that's using that particular artery. And then on top of that, all the people that use it in the morning, because they do, and we are getting our bang for our buck, if not more, from that park. But people that use it for, you know, for exercise or just to go and sit down and so forth. But throughout the course of the day, in the morning, throughout the day, unless it gets too hot, in the evening, you know, we kind of poke a little bit of fun and not in a mean way, but we have the World Cup there almost every weekend. There's soccer games going. I mean, driving over here, there's the girls, you know, tournament going and so forth. But I mean, that, my point is this, is that artery is being used a lot. And I know I talked to our city manager on that, because one of the things that the challenge that staff has is again, like Kevin, you're saying, your challenge is trying to get these people to maybe sell their lots and so forth. I know that the challenge for Nicole and her staff is like getting these people to understand that somehow some of that cost, you know, is the responsibility of the city, but then some of those other costs that are, you know, would be the responsibility of those people that kind of, they're county, but they, to me, it's just kind of funny because they're county, but yet it's almost like in the city sphere of influence. And you know, people, we had a dry year this year, but a lot of people, as I said months ago, they were talking about the flooding and the roads not being developed. You know, it's not wide enough, and there's not sidewalks, and I mean, on and on. So I'm hoping that somehow some dialogue or some discussion can, you know, can take place between our staff and county and see what's on their, you know, agenda. When are they taking a look at, and if they're not looking at those type of improvements, but when are they looking at least to improve that road? Because from Thompson going east all the way to Button Willow, it's not a very safe road. It's not in good condition. And more each day I see more women pushing their strollers and more young children, you know, walking to and from that school, because we do have a school there on the corner of Frankwood and Parlier. So any information you could share with us, or any type of discussion that as far as what we see in the near future, because it's been like that for quite a while. And I think people are, you know, they get antsy, and maybe we didn't hear about it too much this year because it was a dry year, but I know that if we get a wet year, you know, here we go again, and see what we can do with that. I would appreciate it.
Sure.
That's it, Mayor.
Lita. Mm-hmm.
I also attended the Junior Giants opening day, and I'm just really excited that that kind of finishes off the summer. A lot of the activities already have finished, and so it's nice to keep the kids busy, and it's free for all the kids, and that's, I think, what I like the most about it. And it's, I think they had, what, 300 something kids?
Oh, there's a lot of kids out there.
Kids out there, and their parents were out there, which was nice. So, and I also went to a reception, and it was alumni from the Ivy League schools, students in our area. I was just enjoyable evening to meet students that went back east and went to these Ivy League schools, and it's alumni, and they hosted it for our new Fresno State president, Mr. Castro, Joseph Castro. His wife's name is Mary, so I said, oh, that's going to be easy to remember, Joseph and Mary. So I'm going to go back in names. So anyway, it was an enjoyable evening to hear these kids be able to listen to what they're going to be and become, and just it was a really exciting evening. And also went to the Explorer graduation, which was really, I always enjoy that. So nice to see these kids and getting that experience, and our future police. And it's so nice that we provide that for them. And we have a good program, and I'm really happy every time we get invited for that. See our young kids do that. I also went to a parenting conference. And it was sponsored by, it's called Life Arrow, and it's a program that has provides services for families here, counseling service. And they have partnered up with SARB, which is our Student Attendance Review Board. And kids that have missed so much school and are ready to be expelled, and it's kind of their last time to get help. And they've taken that on, and they've given counseling, but not just to the student, but to the whole family. And that's the only way that it's going to be able to help. And so they take the family unit. And it's so, and they're also helping, partnering up with Restorative Justice, our Restorative Justice, which is really good. And the chief, what's his name? Judge David Gothy?
Gottlieb.
From the juvenile. He's really supportive of the Restorative Justice and works with the juveniles. And he was the main speaker there. So I enjoyed that. And I just was looking at the paper the other day and saying all the good things that were in the paper about the kids. We're so blessed. We had the library there that does things for the kids. We had the Boys and Girls Club. The Babe Ruth was finishing up with, they had gone so far. So did Little League finished up, but they went farther than just here in town. And the Junior Giants, and then the Kids Zone is doing a summer thing at the schools. The day camp that we have at the community center, and some kids because we don't have a swimming pool. They swam in Dinuba, which is, I'm grateful that they have it, because my grandkids swim. And so there was a lot of kids from Reedley there that were excited that maybe in 2 years they'll be able to come back to Reedley and swim. But there were all these things in the newspaper for our kids, and I think we're just really blessed to be able to provide that. I know we need to do more, but it's nice to know that that's there for our kids, and just kind of nice way to end the summer, because it's coming to an end, unfortunately. So anyway, but that was all I had to share.
Oh, had a chance to attend the Traffic Safety Committee on a couple of items that was of concern of the public in District Number 4 and to the south of District 4. And would like to thank the police chief and the Traffic Safety Committee for thinking seriously about those two items that was before them that can help traffic safety with the residents in that area. And the second item, I would like to ask and or request that staff research and bring back city council protocols. I don't think that the city really has any city council protocols that we have here.
You are correct. We're one of the few cities that
I think that would be beneficial to the city if we could have some of those, not only for us today, but you know, new council members that are coming in the future. Protocols are very important for communities, so I would like to see information on that.
Do I need to get a second on that if he wants to bring it back or to follow our code? We'll work on that.
Yeah.
We'll work on that with Scott. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mary?
I attended the two meetings, advisory council meeting for the Upper Kings Basin Water Authority, and then the board meeting this last week. Also attended the open house for Sequoia Safety Council a couple of weeks ago. They celebrated their 60th anniversary. And to me, Sequoia Safety Council and our volunteer fire department are two very unique things that Reedley has that no other community, I don't think in this valley, have the volunteer support that we get from the Safety Council and our volunteer fire department. And I talked with the general manager a little bit about that, and he said again that he really appreciates the support of the fire department. I don't know how many of you know, but on each call that's a medical aid call, a fire department, two people come with the separate from the ambulance, but meet there to be supportive and to help with whatever medical emergency has happened. And they have utilized that support quite often. And those are two things that the city don't have to have full-time departments for. And in doing that, we save a lot of money. So I think it's real important that we support those two agencies to continue providing services for our residents. Also attended the Police Explorer graduation, and it was really fun to just sit and watch how proud the parents were as the kids, you know, were called up and got their diploma, and how hard they worked to get to that point. And I think that was a neat, I like to go to those things because I see these young kids that could be wayward kids probably pretty easily, but they're being trained and they're being mentored, and I think maybe the mentoring, as your officers do, is probably more important than any physical training that they'll get from that program. But I'm very thankful that our police department has felt that this was an important program to have. Also attended the MCC. They have a new cafe, and I went to their open house and their grand opening, and they have some really good drinks and goodies to have. So if you haven't tried it, you need to try it. They open at 7 in the morning, and I think they're open till 3 or 4 in the afternoon, even on Saturday too. So, and one more thing, I like the idea of doing a tour for economic development. I think that would be fun to do, to just get together maybe in a little school bus or something, mm-hmm. or one of our city vans. And I think that would be a good way to get us all on the same page as far as what's out there and what's available. And as we go to different functions, then we too can be outreach workers towards that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. I'll try to make mine a little shorter. I had a lot of stuff going on this last couple of weeks. I was with Joel over at the community center. We dedicated the new bus shelter into the city. That was no cost to our city for that project, and that was through transportation funds out of COG. So that's a nice new facility up and running already. COG meeting. I mentioned one time they had a Ventura project, the 180 project. I believe they may have found the funds somewhere else, so I don't think they're going to use. They're going to find. I think what happened was some of the information that came out of that, they were looking at pulling the stuff back up, moving it somewhere else, and I think that didn't set well with some of the folks, and so they come up with funds somewhere else for that project. The following day, I had Henry Perea, Assemblyman Perea, was at COG, and he was giving some updates on the enterprise zones. We pretty much lost the enterprise zones, other than he kept what was intact that is in existence, and I think it's, I want to say, a 10-year time span before they phase some of that stuff out. He was able to save some of it, and he says they had to fight just to get what they were able to save, and it was to do with, they're still taking vouchers and stuff, so for people to use it. So that's that was kind of a setback, but they knew it was coming. Positive feedback from Mr. Perea on Chief Garza, and I went up and talked to Mr. Perea regarding some changes in the penal codes. And I had a chance to get the information back to him, but he told me that day that he was getting positive feedback for the changes we were looking for into the penal code changes that we were working on. So I haven't heard anything else since then, but it was pretty good feedback. He's very concerned about our water issues. He is trying to stay afloat on that so that he can get, he's up on the Temperance Flat. He's with a lot of people for storage, so he's on the same page with the people here in the valley. I did have the pleasure and the honor of welcoming the folks at the 4th of July celebration at the fireworks. I believe Chief was the busiest one out there that night putting out grass fires. So, also, I was with Councilman Rodriguez and Betancourt at the Junior Giants opening. They have a great turnout. There must have been, like you said, 300 kids, and they were all having a ball out there. And they, I liked one of the programs they put on, and Councilman Rodriguez mentioned it. They talked about the health, and they're very adamant about keeping these kids hydrated while they're out there and using proper foods and nutrition to keep them going. So that is a great program. Also was with Council Member Fast at the Sequoia Safety 60th year party. And Sylvia also attended that with us, and they had a nice turnout. It was a constant turnover, people coming in and out. Got to see a lot of the old folks that we used to work with in the early years. Bob Suderman was there, and Bob was one of the first to work with the Safety Council many years ago, so got to see a lot of those guys. Also attended the Police Department's 15th graduation class of the Explorers. I liked the Top Gun. I was intrigued. The littlest of the one of the bunch did the best shooting. So she. I also attended the 60th anniversary of the Ark down here at our local Ark Center. And that is really growing. I think they run in almost 100 individuals now in that project. They are staying very busy. And if you get a chance, stop in there and see a gal named Jackie that runs that. And she's doing great things with those kids. And they are such a good bunch of kids. Most of them are so, they're willing to help. They're willing to do anything for you. They're a great bunch of kids. Last night I attended the Five Cities meeting, and this is going to, I volunteered Kevin for some work. They had a great presentation on the healthcare. They're having some innovative ideas they're trying to get swing in. And they're going to try to get some, they're adding personnel out here at our local Health and Human Services for this project that they got. They're looking at, they're doing a lot of online stuff with these call centers, but they're looking for places maybe to come down and do a meeting for the general public to invite them and hold a housing for maybe you can. I told them, I said, you're the guy that knows where all the places are, and so, and I said, you being in the, with the additional of the employees that they're trying to get out here in our field, I thought it would be a good contact for you to meet these people that's involved in that. So, and if they swing by, I can get you some names on them. So, yeah. Also, one of the things that also involved you, EDC, is they're doing some relocation on business off of the high-speed rail corridor, and they're not, they're like you, they wouldn't give me the names of who's moving. And so, but they're looking at, they're putting together a package, and they're going to be contacting the city manager and probably with you involved of their needs for these businesses that's wanting to relocate. They're trying to keep them within Fresno County. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for relocation and business sizes, what kind of facilities they need. So that's something that's happening right now with that. So, and that's all I have. So, then moving on to the city manager.
Okay, first I wanted to thank Rotary. Joel had to leave a little early, but the Rotary Club, if you've been out to the community center lately, paid for, funded some landscaping improvements out at our community center. It's right next to a new bus shelter. It looks very clean. They took out some of the old diseased junipers, and so I just wanted to thank them for paying for that and for doing that, their volunteer labor. It looks beautiful out there right now, and we're hoping to get the other side matching pretty soon. So it looks very nice, and I thank them for doing that as their community project. I do want to have Noe report out on the status of our Frankwood project, because you've probably seen we have some of the median curbs going up right now, and had a fun conversation with the fire captains about that yesterday at lunch. Also want to have Chief report out on the canine, and hang on just a minute, Noe, stay there. It's okay, because yeah, I need you for this one too. Still need a special meeting on the 30th. correct? Yes. So our special meeting on the 30th, as we've been talking about over the course of the past month, we will need to call a special meeting because of the timeline with awarding the Manning Bridge construction contract. So I did need to make sure that we have a quorum. So Sylvia will be contacting you individually to see if you'll be available for that meeting on the 30th, just to make sure we have a quorum. I don't envision it to be a very long meeting, but it's a very important one because of the timing of the project. Initially, the meeting we thought we needed on August 5th because of the CNG station timing, which is also another one where, you know, these Caltrans and FHWA deadlines for invoices, et cetera. I don't believe we need the August 5th anymore, correct?
No, we can't make that date.
Right, so we'll be looking at the 13th for that.
Yeah.
So the only special meeting we're looking at is the 30th, and we'll call you to find out if you're available. So.
And I believe that was still at 6 o'clock?
It would be up to the council what the preference of the majority or the quorum that we can get, but it's a short enough meeting, I believe, that probably 6 o'clock we could get in and get out. So. So if you can go ahead and give a status on Frankwood, because all these projects are coming together.
Yes, Frankwood Avenue, if you've seen north of Manning, it's starting to take shape now as a street, a new street is going to look like. We have portions of the median island that is going to raise median island that we're going to have there. And then the curb and gutter on the on the side there of that half of the street. So what we're looking at right now as far as the schedule is concerned, we had originally envisioned this project being done around mid-September. However, recent developments as far as ordering of equipment and lead times and all that, specifically talking about the new traffic signal equipment and the street lighting, we're probably going to be extending the project 3 or 4 weeks for that. Now, keeping in mind that that side of the street should be done well in advance of the school being back in session, so we'll have that side fully completed and in use by the time we're back in school. So we'll be working on the other side, and at this point it'll probably be a matter of coordinating with the school district and the school officials there to make sure that we're going to have right access to the school when it's back in session. So it's not a concern at this point, but we do need to coordinate with the school district, and we're looking to do that here pretty shortly. Now, as far as the project is concerned, it's going pretty smooth, if I could call it like that. We have encountered minor challenges here and there as far as unforeseen conditions, but we've been addressing them as we go through the project. As far as we're concerned, the project right now is moving along as intended, except for the possible extension that we're looking at this point. Any questions on that project? Now, just real quick on the Manning Bridge project, as Nicole was mentioning, we will bring to you next week on the 30th two separate contract awards. One is going to be for the construction bid. We did open bids last week on that, and we got some good turnout as far as contractors, and we are in the process of qualifying and evaluating the low bid to make sure that we'll be able to award that. And then today we finish our interviews for the construction management services contract for that project, and we have selected a consultant for that, which surprisingly or not, Quincy Engineering, which is the designer, showed as the most qualified. So we'll be bringing forth a recommendation to award the contract to them as well. So with that said, that's the update on the Manning Bridge.
All right. And Chief, if you can give an update on our K-9.
Yes. Good evening, City Council. Exciting news for the city of Reedley. I had my canine sergeant and the new handler for the canine, for the new dog, drive up to Reading this weekend, and we were able to make a selection of a new dog. The city of Reedley is about a 2-year-old German Shepherd, is shipped over here through, or from Czechoslovakia.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So, but we went up there and the officers tested him for all the different levels, temperament, ability, and his sociability as well. And everything checked out really well. And we were actually pretty excited because we actually beat out a very large, rich agency. And this dog was actually probably going to be selected by them if we weren't standing next to the handler saying, or the owner saying, we want this dog. It was actually Beverly Hills PD.
Beverly Hills.
So. We beat out Beverly Hills PD. So we really beat them out. So that was good because they were really eyeing that dog as well. So we actually beat them to the punch. So that was great. So what our plan is that the dog, as soon as we execute the contract for the purchase of the dog, the handler will be traveling up to Reading and spending 5 weeks there for the training program. He'll be starting September, first week of September, with the graduation being the first week of October. So we're hope to have that dog on the street, ready to go by mid-October at the latest, if all goes well. So the canine unit swap has been completed as well. Orange Cove City Council approved the swap as well, so we are good to go on that at this point. So.
Thank you, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else with an update? All right, I believe that's all, Mayor.
Okay. Next item is a closed session item. Before we go into closed session, is there any public comment on